Just wanted to share a idea with you on the Parsha that we didn't have a chance to get together and share today, so I figured I'd record something. As you know, this week's Parsha, whether you'll be in shul, whether you won't be in shul, is the Chet HaEgel, which is arguably the low point in Jewish history. And it's something that it's really hard to understand on one level. It's really easy to understand on other levels, but it's been haunting us ever since. Literally, the Torah tells us that there is not a generation that goes by that does not receive some of the onesh for the Chet HaEgel. This was an incredibly difficult Avera, and it was an incredibly difficult time for Klal Yisrael, coming off the incredible high of Matan Torah and Maamar Har Sinai, and then this great low, this great valley of the Chet HaEgel, something which we have to contend with. And it's not so easy to do. One approach I heard, which was al derech hamusar, I once heard from Rav Dan Segal. I don't know if it was his own idea or he was quoting somebody, but he was suggesting that, first of all, it's if you hold like the Ramban, it wasn't actually an act of avodah zara. Rather, it was simply some type of a replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is it that this should be considered such a horrible Avera to the extent that we have to pay for it for all of eternity? And that was really the exchange that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for not wiping us out completely. So why is this so that the Chet HaEgel was really, really so bad? So he had the following suggestion, and I think whether or not you think this is pshat in the Chet HaEgel, it's certainly a very important idea al pi Musar and Avodas Hashem. So he said that, what was the Bnei Yisrael thinking? They thought that we have to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. He's gone. The Satan, you know, the Midrash says the Satan showed them a vision of Moshe Rabbeinu being gone, and he went up to Shemayim, and he's no longer going to be with us and to lead us. And they said, we can't possibly serve Hashem on our own. We can't serve Hashem without our great leader, Moshe, and therefore we need to form an immediate replacement for him. And they went back to what they knew for the last few hundred years. You know, you figure, people adapt to their environments very, very quickly. Klal Yisrael was there, you know, depending on whose sheet do you accept. Let's assume, like Rashi, that they were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. They quickly adopted the culture of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim said, you can't serve the Ribbono Shel Olam without some sort of intermediary. You can't have, meaning, it's a longer discussion than we have right now, but mostly, if you look certainly in the beginning of the Rambam and Hilchos of Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah served as an intermediary for reaching the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is the way, really, if you think about it, I don't know much about comparative religions and things like that, but other than maybe Islam, I don't know, there's really, Judaism is the only religion that talks about reaching the Ribbono Shel Olam directly, not through any kind of an intermediary, meaning even Christianity basically holds you can't get close to God himself. You have to go through some sort of intermediary, whatever their shita is on that particular intermediary is not so easy to define, but it was, you know, we adopted this culture from our surroundings, from Mitzrayim, who was using it. Obviously, the Mitzrayim didn't think that the Seh created the Shemayim Arts. They didn't think that the Nile River created Shemayim Arts. They held that all of these things are some sort of intermediary of the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is a way in which you reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this was the problem that Klal Yisrael faced. They lost their, what they viewed as their intermediary. They viewed Moshe Rabbeinu as their conduit to getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now he was gone. And that was obviously what was wrong. This is basically along the lines of the Ramban's approach. And what Rav Dan Segal explained was that our Avodas Hashem can never be talui in anything. Our Avodas Hashem cannot be dependent on a situation, a feeling, a level of motivation, because there are always going to be times where we don't feel that motivation. We're not in that ideal situation. We're not in the appropriate setting that we want to be in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. And he said that's why it was so horrible that they basically threw up their hands and they said, we're going back to the ways of Mitzrayim and we're going to form some sort of an Egel, some sort of an intermediary, some sort of a Avodah Zarah, and we're only going to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this exact intermediary. And that's what was wrong with it, because their entire Avodas Hashem was what we would call an Avoda Hatuluya Bedover. It was dependent on the right situation, with the right people, with the right intermediary. And they said, we can't possibly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our current state. We need to change that situation and create something that is outside of the actual framework of Avodas Hashem in order to get close to the Ribbono Shel'olam. And that was the source of their great sin. And that is something that we take with us ad hayom hazeh. We always thrive in the ideal state. We thrive in yeshiva. We, you know, we talk about we're going to be going to this environment, then we're really going to fly, but we can't possibly make things happen for ourselves in this grade. We can't possibly make things happen for ourselves in this environment, but wait till next year, wait till the summer, wait till the winter, whatever it may be. We always say to ourselves that that proper environment, if we put ourselves in that exact environment, then we'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. He creates the environment in which he wants us to serve him. Now, we don't know what that environment is until it happens. I don't think if I would have asked anybody, they would have told me that the new way we're going to be going to yeshiva is over the internet, and it's going to be basically a way of connecting to each other that is very, very far from ideal. But for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this is the way he wants us to serve him. And it's hard for us to understand, and it's hard for me, very much so. I'm really struggling with this, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around what I'm actually supposed to be doing right now and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wants from me. But it's our job to do our best to serve Hashem in the best possible way, given the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And we can never forget for a second that as frustrated as we may be, as confused as we may be, that this we are exactly where Hashem wants us to be. And this is the circumstance he wants us to serve us. He doesn't want us to make an egel. He doesn't want us to do something crazy. He wants us to use our minds to figure out a way to serve him as best as possible in the circumstances in which he places us. And to that effect, if anybody has ideas, whether it's for learning, whether it's for chesed, whether it's for just healthy social interactions that we can have with one another, you know, please, please, please reach out to me, to somebody else, to each other, and let's try our best to make the absolute, not just make the best of this situation, but to take the situation that the Ribbono Shel Olam placed us into and thrive in it in the way that he wants. I can't imagine Hashem wants us and expects from us to be exactly the way we were when everything was in the idealized state. But on the flip side, he clearly put us in a situation so that we would learn something new that we couldn't have learned about ourselves, about our friends, about our environment, and about how to thrive in his world. He put us in the situation for a reason, and we have to take advantage of that and thrive in that environment. And I wish everybody a great Shabbos and tremendous Hatzlacha, and hopefully I will be speaking to you soon.